If you have driven through Independence in the last 60 years, you probably wondered what a train was doing at Dahee Park. Has your curiosity piqued the last few years it has been covered? Today I am joined by Dave Mull, president of the Carson and Colorado Railway, who can shed some light on this intriguing history as well as some exciting news. Dave, thank you so much for talking with me today about Independence's train.
Certainly, certainly. So I started this little project over 20 years ago, and an older gentleman wandered into my parts store in Lone Pine with a grease fitting off that locomotive in the park and threw the grease fitting up on the counter and said, I need a tool to grease this. And I had to interrogate him a bit. What in the heck is that off of? This grease fitting is what they call a button head style fitting that's about 2 inch in diameter. Largest grease fitting I'd ever seen in my life. Anyway, he told me it's off that locomotive in the park in Independence, and we've got the okay from the museum curator to spruce it up a little bit. We'll clean it up and make it look a little better. It was looking pretty sad back in the 90s, late 90s, 96, 97. So I said, well, if you're going to do that, I'm going to help you. So we formed a little nonprofit organization back then, 501c3, and I found him, of course, the tool to grease that. His name was Myron Alexander, and unfortunately passed away in November of 99. He became the president, I became the vice president, and we had a crew of workers. One of them was Russell Fleming. Russell died of a tragic heart ailment back in 2006, lost him. But anyway, we continued on working on that old locomotive. The more we took this locomotive apart, the more we realized this thing had been freshly rebuilt in the Bakersfield shops in February of 1952. And the more we looked at it, the more we decided, gee, why can't we make this thing run? And we decided, well, let's try. Let's see what we can do. With the help of Randy Babcock, who was I was friends with his dad. They wanted a boxcar, Owens Valley boxcar, and I had found him one, and we made a deal, traded him for a Knott's Berry Farm excursion car, which happened to be a Durango, an old Durango cattle car that they used at Knott's Berry Farm for years. Anyway, with Randy's help, Randy was a young gentleman of about 16 years old or so at that point, but his dad owned a steam locomotive, and at that time he was working for the Knott's Berry Farm as an engineer and a machinist there at Knott's Berry Farm. So with his help, we were able to see what the locomotive needed in order to run legally. And like I say, the more stuff that we had, the more stuff we tore apart, the more stuff we found was in really good shape. There were some things that weren't. The boiler had to have all the tubes replaced. Those are 11 and a half foot long. There's 196 of them, 2 inch in diameter. And I think the bill for those alone was $16,000. The more we worked on this thing, the more people decided, hey, if you're going to do that, I want to help. And one of the guys that was very helpful in our project was an older gentleman who lived in Independence there named Larry Peckham. And Larry had worked for Water and Powers for years. He was a single man. He had inherited a little money from an aunt, I believe. And he came to me and said, I want to see that locomotive run before I die. And I said, well, my God, let's try it. And he pledged to our little group over $100,000 if we could do that. Unfortunately, he passed away a year ago, just before we were able to fire it up and make it run. And because of that, we're naming the engine house after him. We wouldn't have been able to complete this little project without his help. We went on to steam this thing up last year, 62 years to the day of the last time it had run. And now, as we have just about finished the new building up behind the museum in Independence, we've got a 40 by 70 double stall engine house up there. We moved the locomotive in there with the help of Miller Towing of Lone Pine and Brandon Rosser out of Ridgecrest. He's a heavy haul guy. We were able to pick that locomotive up. We actually rolled it up some track with John Miller's big tow truck towing it, and transferred it up to the museum, rolled it back off. We had to build track on and off in both places. And now we have that locomotive sitting safely inside the new building. And it's been a definite labor of love. It's been a legacy for me. At this point, after 20 years, a lot of folks have come and a lot of folks have gone. We've lost a lot of real good help for obvious reasons. People could just get old and die. Some of them have met tragic ends. And it's sad, but we're firing this thing up on the 3rd of July in memory of a lot of the folks that went ahead.
Well, that's what an interesting story that the Slim Princess engine number 18 has definitely had. I'd have to admit that I've been one of those people that was intrigued. So now that you've quelled some of our curiosity, what does the future hold for her?
Well, our big plan with this locomotive is to run it on special occasions. It's not going to be a tourist railroad. My friend Randy Babcock runs the Durango and Silverton Roundhouse, and he works on these locomotives every day of the week. And he said there's not enough money in the world for this locomotive to be running 24/7. You need to, first of all, you've got to have a place to run it, which we don't. We have a small location there in Independence to run it, and we're going to. We've got about 300 foot of track down right now, and we'll have it running on that on the 3rd of July. We also have a new deal we're going to try. We're going to move this locomotive with Brandon and John Miller's help up to Laws Railroad Museum on the weekend of, I think it's the 22nd, 23rd, 24th of September. And we'll run it for the Laws folks up there for a long weekend. But down the track a little farther, maybe next year, I'm not going to write this in stone, there's a good chance that we could move this locomotive back to Durango and run it on the Durango and Silverton rail. And that's going to be exciting. That's going to be the first time this locomotive has been out of the Owens Valley in 100 years.
So wow.
It actually moved here in 1928, but it ran on the Nevada-California-Oregon line from 1911 until 1928. So technically, it'll be moving out of the Owens Valley, but it's going farther to the east than it's been in forever, since they manufactured it in December of 1911.
Well, that's going to be a great location there at the Eastern Sierra Museum. Dave, can you tell us a little bit more about her debut on July 3rd and all the festivities?
Well, we're going to have at high noon a silver spike ceremony. We're going to drive the silver spike in a tie right outside the building there and blow the whistle, and we'll have some dignitaries there speaking about what we've done and how we've done it. We'll have the locomotive running back and forth on that 300-footed section of track for the remainder of the afternoon. 4 o'clock, we've got a bluegrass band going to fire up on the grass just to the north of our locomotive building. And at 5 o'clock, we're going to have a trash can tri-tip dinner, donation of $15 per person. And we've got a lot of tri-tip, and we hope that we'll be able to serve everyone that's coming.
Great. Well, I know that I'm going to be there, and having been one of those people driving past since I was in high school in Mammoth, when the tracks, believe it or not, were still on 395 and the school bus had to stop at each set of tracks, it's great to know that the Slim Princess has a great home at the Eastern Sierra Museum.
Thank you. Yes, it does. And we're very excited to dedicate the building on the 3rd, and look forward to running this 4 or 5 times a year for the next 15 years. That's what the license that we have an agreement with the state of California, the feds, they're good for 15 years, and then they need to be rebuilt again. So we'll start this all over again in 15 years.
Sounds like fun, Dave. Well, thanks again for being here, and thanks to everyone who played a part in the Slim Princess these past 60 years. Again, the event is July 3rd, starting at 12 p.m. Reservations are strongly recommended for the tri-tip dinner at 5 p.m. Please RSVP at Eventbrite, as they do need to make sure they rustle up enough tri-tip. Make sure you stop by and see the Slim Princess in her new home at the Eastern Sierra Museum in Independence. Thanks, Dave, so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we will see you there on July 3rd.
Good. We'll see you then.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.